Welcome once again to Whiskey Congress. You're getting something we haven't had in a while. Steve and I in studio together.
Same place, same time.
Same place, same time. How you been?
Good, man. How about yourself?
Doing fine, thank you. So, it feels like we can't even keep up with all the shit going down, but...
Well, you know, when you mix it between, you know, our schedules and, you know, like, just us staying in contact... working on the show, and then everything that happens, like it happens so quickly. I think we thought with this administration that a lot of this was the fact that they were new, and a lot of it had to do with the campaign. And eventually, they would settle in office, things would slow down, and you'd get a normal sense of government, right?
We thought,
and I don't know, maybe we didn't think that. We
didn't know what to expect.
We didn't. I think we said that, but I think that's what the normal, I think that the, for the most part, the average person thinking about these sort of things, listening to them, paying attention to them, thought that eventually things would normalize at some point. And that is not what happened, or has
happened. Not happened yet. Well, you know why? Because he's still campaigning. Campaigning is fun.
He loves these damn rallies. Like, it is unbelievable. They call them rallies.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just like, what the hell do you need to have? Like, what are you rallying for?
You've been in office for six months. Doing the job would be awesome.
Right, like, have a press conference to tell us, you know, what minority group you're screwing over, and then get on with it. Why do we need a whole rally for it?
So in that regard... The first minority group to screw with is going to be legal immigrants, right? So so it's called the RAISE Act. I forget what RAISE stands for, but it's basically a bill proposed to bring in only skilled, educated immigrants to the country so that we would not be losing jobs to unskilled immigrants, which to me is bizarre in so many ways, one of which is... are you really saying that we need more Americans getting unskilled jobs?
Right.
I mean, basically...
Well, and who gets those jobs, right? When they presented this, they said, this is to help, you know, the people who are, you know, the most abused in our system, the people who need it the most, you know, our African-American brothers and sisters, right? Like, this is going to make things better for them. You know, screw the illegal immigrants coming in, or the immigrants, legal immigrants coming in. Screw those guys. They don't need to be taking our jobs. Those jobs out in the fields, that should be for our black brothers and sisters.
I don't know if they actually said those words, but they might as well have.
I mean, you know, they didn't put it together in that sequence. But if you're saying, let's get rid of, you know, legal immigrant workers who are doing jobs that are now known as basically immigrant worker jobs... Let's get rid of the people doing those, and let's give people in our country who we deem need a boost, and let's put them out there to do this work. And that's going to be our African American community. You guys go out there and, you know, do your part. Pick back up where you left off.
All right. Okay. I mean, as a white male, I find that very disturbing and difficult to not get offended by. As a black man, I'm sure it infuriates you.
Yeah, it's just... I
shouldn't put those words in your mouth.
It's not that it infuriates me. It's just that what's really infuriating are the people who will sit there and say that this administration doesn't have a... It's not America first agenda. It's a white America first agenda, right? Like, and the way this show is going to go today, like, we're kind of going to lay it out there for you, right? And that's not by intention. This is by their own actions. This is not, you know, this is not watching with the third eye, listen with the third ear. This is literally what they're doing. This is what they're putting out there. These are memos that you can find that are open to the public, that they have no issue with saying, hey, you know, like, look at this, it's out there, this is our plan, this is our agenda. And if they want to go that direction, okay, well, you're going to get some pushback, right? Because when you go pro-white agenda, like, that tends to mean that that's going to be at the, you know, at so at the cost of someone's going to pay for it, right? So who are you bumping out to prop up white people who need to be propped up? I mean, because if you go on Twitter, right, like, you guys are the most victimized group of people on the fucking planet.
Steve, I don't know if you know how hard it is to be a middle-aged white man in America.
It's hard out here in these streets. It's hard.
Was that Foghorn Leghorn? I don't know what you were. Was it Jeff Sessions?
I don't know.
Because it's hard to tell the two apart. I've never seen the two in the same room at the same time, to be honest with you. That's true. But no, you're right. He is playing to the victim card. And, I mean, we've talked about this in other instances. When you feel like you are the victim, when you feel like you are the underdog, it makes you feel good about whatever you're doing. Now, in this case, it's almost like the 1992... dream team trying to play the victim card, which is, or the underdog card, which is comical. But he's appealing to the same folks who put him in office, right? The folks who are white, middle class, upper middle class, or you know, lower income even, who are being told, you've been the victim of immigrants, you've been the victim of a system designed to help, you know, minorities, and these, you know you're paying your taxes and it's going straight to a black woman in the inner city having a ton of babies and getting her Obama phone. Mm-hmm. And while if you do the math on it, it's laughable to criticize that, but yet it works,
right?
It appeals to the crowd. I mean, I've been in so many Twitter and Facebook discussions.
Well,
calling that as generous.
Right. I mean, we both have, you know, it's funny. This kind of transitions us into, you know, something else that came up is that, you know, the administration, the Department of Justice, they're targeting, the Department of Justice is targeting affirmative action. They're looking at any college, university that's using race as a base for admission into the schools. What they're saying is, listen, this is hurting white students. White students aren't getting in at the same number that they've been in the past, so it's having an impact on white students, so we're going to attack it. And I think that this is, it's so interesting to me. Harvard, the well-esteemed, the esteemed Ivy League university,
right,
just released their numbers for the class of 2021, right? And so those numbers for the class of 2021, the number of white students, the percentage of white students in that class is 50%, right? And the overall percent, it's like 50 and some change or whatever.
Okay.
And the total percentage of non-white students is like 50% plus a few points. So
49.8 to 50.2, basically.
Right, whatever, right. So, that's about what it is. And so, like, people are losing their minds. Like, conservatives all over the place are saying, like, this isn't fair. Like, this is reverse racism. This is, you know, this is, someone said it was segregation. I'm still not sure how it's segregation, but it is.
I didn't read that one.
Right. It was on Twitter.
But if you said that, you didn't go to Harvard.
Right. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, Twitter is the toilet bowl of society. But, you know, people were getting really upset. People on our own Twitter feed came out and attacked us a little bit and attacked, well, me, because you, I was talking about it, saying, like, if one person gets discriminated against, we need to fight that injustice. It's like, whoa.
I followed this. I actually...
Okay, so... And I'm sitting
when
there...
When she pieced out, I was like, okay, we like this. I was trying to...
Yeah, and I shut it down. But here's the thing. Where's the discrimination, right? Like, where are white people being discriminated against? Because, like, think about it. The class is 50% white, right? So half... Let's say we got 100 people coming into the class at Harvard. 50 of those people are white, okay? You go into the other class. All right, 14 of those people are black. 14 of those, the remainder are other, right? Like, there's something else. They're Middle Eastern, they're Arab, they're mixed
Asian,
race.
I said there was Asian, but, was about to, oh, whoa, sorry, sorry.
Pump your brakes. Asian, 22%. Right? So the Asian percentage of this class is 22%. So if 22%, like, and if you go down and you break it down by, like, numbers in society, right? Like, you have, like, in the U.S., if you go by the census, 60% of the country is white, 13% is black, like, 17-18% is Hispanic, and then, but Asians,
like, 8,
are, 9? No, they're 6%.
Okay.
Right? So Asians are 6% of the population across the U.S. But in the class makeup at Harvard, one-off, anecdotal, at Harvard, they're 22%. So, and people, the funny thing is that people were who were upset about this, they're saying that because they're letting in more black students, that's hurting white and Asian students.
Well, oh, really, they claim that Asians are being hurt?
They literally said that it's because, and they're claiming that because it's be, the reason why the dominant, like the reason why there's more non-white students is because of the number of, or the reason why there's not, the hold on, sorry, this gets confusing. Let me slow down. Let me slow down. Let me pump my brakes. The reason why white students are no longer, you know, the majority of everybody, right? Which you still are. You're 50% of the whole class. But because it's not 60 or 70%, then it has to be because Harvard is letting in more black students and there's more black students getting opportunities that white kids aren't getting, and it's holding, and it's hurting whites and Asians, right? But if you look at the numbers, again, it's 50% white, it's 22% Asian, and then the numbers, it's 14% black, so that's almost dead on with our racial makeup, right? The demographic of society, right? And then, like, really, the people who are, like, who should be complaining and pissed are Latinos, right? Because Latinos actually make up 16 to 18% of our population, so you would think that their numbers would be a little bit higher in this class if it's, if that's what it's based off of.
If it was obviously truly representative, which right, it's not.
Right, but it's not. It's based on merit, right? It's based on merit. That's the thing, right? Like, Harvard is doing it. Like, the funny thing is, if progressives and liberals actually looked at how Harvard did it, they would probably be pissed, right? Because Harvard, I'm pretty sure, is still going on, what are your test scores? What are your GPA? Do you have a job? What sort of, like, they're looking at all that stuff, and race is probably so far down on the fucking list that I'm pretty sure it would piss off people on the left if they actually knew what the formula was, right? And people on the right, like, they're just pissed because for some reason they hear this whole idea that there's more non-white people going to Harvard and they lose their fucking mind, even though it's only three students.
And mind you, the same people will talk about how these elites don't get it and the normal regular
and
folks.
It's also like people who could never get into Harvard.
They're saying that?
No. I mean, the people that are complaining about this are people who could never get into Harvard.
Right.
Guess what, fuckwad? I could get into Harvard. Right? I could have crip walked my way into Harvard, but I decided not to go there.
I didn't.
What's that?
I couldn't.
I got, like, I easily could have went to Harvard. Listen, I went to fucking West Point. I'm pretty sure I could have gone to Harvard if I wanted to.
If you could have, well, if either of us could afford it, which neither of us could, because it's really expensive, like,
well,
unless you're.
It's Ivy League school. Like, if you can go there, they'll figure out a way to afford it. That's a different conversation.
I've always had a chip on my shoulders towards Harvard because when I lived in Boston, I would go
you
there.
Couldn't go?
Yeah, because I couldn't go and I could. Well, good for you.
Because I'm smarter than you, Jim.
Depends on the day. I would say that depends on the day.
You want to piss off a white guy? Be a black guy and tell him you're smarter than him.
You're a smart guy. I don't concede anyone smarter than me without, like, empirical proof.
I've played trivia with you. I know.
Oh. Don't challenge me on trivia. Come on now.
I'm challenging
okay.
you.
Okay. That's right. Oh, that was a cop. Okay. I thought that was a jab. And when it comes to worthless shit, you know that this brain is full of it.
Jim was halfway out of his seat to go get Trivial Pursuit right now.
I'm going to prove right now.
I'm the smartest white guy you know.
Yeah, it is funny though. The victim card is there, and the minorities are taking over unfairly. When I read the mentality. I'm not saying it's
no,
real.
No. It's even when you hear when you say it out loud, right?
Yeah.
Minorities are taking over and they're doing it unfairly. This is not fair.
Like, it's not fair.
Bitch, do you know how this country was built? Like, this country was built on a whole pile of unfair.
Just because people were treated like property and owned and had no rights, you're calling that unfair?
Property, unfair, no rights, raped. Murdered, whatever.
Anyway. Yeah, all right. We'll stop. I'll stop with the, jokes about
ramblings of a madman.
Well, I'm intentionally, thankfully. If anyone who didn't pick that, I know you picked it up as sarcasm. Anyone listening, not picking that up as sarcasm, that's on you. But yeah, it is. It's obvious to me what Trump is doing. Right, he did the transgender ban tweet, which he, from the military, which he never. amounted to anything. It was just a, let's throw this bone to the masses and let them gobble up the, let you know, the evangelicals gobble up that I'm on their side.
Jingle the keys.
Jingle the keys.
Right.
And you know, this is all a, hey, white guys who put us in office, we're throwing you another bone. We're fighting the unfair.
I think it's more than that.
Okay.
Because this is coming from the Department of Justice, right? This is an internal memo. They're hiring attorneys. They got rid of attorneys who wouldn't do it. Well, the attorney, like, there were lifelong civil rights in education. Like, there were attorneys who were in the civil rights department of the Department of Justice, who their job was fighting discrimination in education. That's what they've been doing since the 60s, 70s, 80s, right? Fighting segregation, fighting racism in schools, fighting for, you know, safety for the LGBT community in the education sector. And when this memo, you know, when the original memo was proposed, we didn't, at the time, the public didn't realize that this memo existed. But this memo goes out saying, hey, we need to fight essentially these schools that are using race and using affirmative action, that are keeping that, you know, which is allowing more non-white students to go, and, you know, in turn, it's racism against white students, right? Like, we're all about equality, but if it impacts me as a white person, right, or if it impacts you as a white person, and this isn't directly...
No, I understand.
If it impacts you as a white person, then you're not about it, right? Like, I don't care if you come up to my level, but you have to figure out a way to get there where it doesn't impact or affect me in any way, shape, or form, right? Like, that's the whole point of fighting affirmative action in schools. So this memo goes out, and the people who had been fighting for justice in education for the last 30 years are like, listen, this goes against everything that we've been fighting for. You know, we're not going to do it. So they were all given a, all right, well, either do it or resign. We won't fire you because that'll make us look bad. But you're going to have to go ahead and retire or resign. And so you saw an exodus. I picked up on this. And I, you know, I have RSS feeds for, you know, shit that happens to lawyers or whatever. And this actually made the news, where a number of people in the Civil Rights Department of the Department of Justice had stepped down. And I thought that was curious. Right? I mean, because these are the type of people who are lifers. Like, they're going to essentially... Right. You know, die in office. And so I thought it let me know something was going on, right? I didn't automatically assume that all these people were, there's nothing you can do about it. I didn't automatically assume that these people just happened to be retiring or resigning at the same time. Obviously something was up. And then this memo comes to, like, makes its way to the public, that they're looking for attorneys to basically fight affirmative action from the side of the government, right? Which, that is a bad sign. That is a bad sign for, like, the idea of affirmative action. And you also, and we talked about this, right? What's the other side of this? What are they doing to the public schools, right? Betsy DeVos trying to defund them so these public schools don't have money. Well, defunding the public schools through the federal government, they're not going to defund Rocky River and Solon and the different places in, you know, these rich neighborhoods.
Wealthy tax base.
Right. Those aren't the places that get impacted, right? Like, money goes to public schools based on need, right? City of Cleveland, Buffalo, you know, Youngstown, wherever you're at, like, these places with shitty school systems, they get the most money. Now, some people argue that's not how it should work. Betsy DeVos and the Department of Education, that's how they feel, right? Like, those schools, because they suck, they shouldn't be getting money. So let's defund them, right? And then let's force these kids to get a voucher and then go to a private school somewhere else.
Right. Right?
School choice, right? Well, these private schools will say, hey, well, we don't want these kids from the inner city, so we're going to raise our tuition to beyond the cost of that voucher, knowing that the parents can't afford it. So the kids are forced back into the shitty schools. And
which are now shittier because they've got less money.
And then what happens, right? Like, so between, you know... These kids aren't going to be getting educated at a lower level. And then, just to make sure, we're going to take anything away that allow that gives you an opportunity to get into college based off of something other than just grades and test scores.
Now, let me say something that I don't believe in, but I want to put it out there for you. And then if you throw it back to me, I'll take it. But the argument is always, You can't just solve this problem by throwing money at it. It's not about money. The amount of money going to the Buffalo, Cleveland, whatever, city, you know, per student city schools is exorbitant as it is. And people say, it's, you know, money is not the answer. Well, here's why money is the answer. I'm sorry, I just took the ball. I threw the ball, then caught it myself. When a class size...
I would like to see that, actually, physically. I would like to see it.
I have to throw
it
a little...
the ball and catch it yourself. You have to throw it forward and after throw it forward.
Anyway, yes. So when a class size goes from being 22 students per teacher, 24 students per teacher, to two and a half times that, that's a money issue. If you don't have the teachers in place able to give students the time students, especially younger students, need... That is where money directly impacts things.
Right.
Not just to mention facilities, books. I mean, I've talked in the past about I have an ex-girlfriend who worked for the United Way. Mm-hmm. And she would go into these inner city schools on United Way work and say, you know, she'd show up with, you know, basically hand-me-down books and boxes of crayons. And I mean, she would be teary-eyed about how much these kids appreciated it. And like, she would go into their library and there'd be
nothing,
essentially nothing there.
Right.
You know, these kids were getting, you know, literally their school supplies were so limited that teachers were having to buy them themselves, and teachers in inner city schools often aren't making great money. So that's hard for them to do.
It's a mess. Mm-hmm. Inner city schools are a mess. It's not just a money problem.
It's not just a money problem, but money impacts it.
The physical buildings that they're in are in shit. The way that the system is designed, like a lot of these inner city schools, whether it's Chicago or Cleveland or Youngstown, they're very administrative heavy at the top because the administrators actually get paid a decent salary and they get pensions and they get health benefits.
And they don't have to do shit on the ground level.
They work fucking 9 to 5. They get great vacation. They get all this time off. And these schools are going to hell in a handbasket, right? The teachers do what they can. After a while, they get jaded. And a lot of it comes down to money, right? You got one teacher with 40
students
in a class, right? And half the class isn't paying attention. And even if you have half the class paying attention, if you have 20 people, imagine us trying to do this show with 3 other people in this room who gave no fucks about this show.
Right, just standing around talking
about it. Right, standing around having a conversation. Like, it'd be impossible for us to concentrate and actually do it. We would kick them out, right? But that's what these teachers have to deal with. And they can't, like, how are you going to kick 20 students out of a class of 40, right?
Right.
And after a while, they bail. They give up. And then they say, fuck it, right? It's not worth it. You know, public schools, you know, inner city, you see teachers where they have, they get all this time off and they use it, all of it. Right, I mean, the call-off rate for teachers in public schools in the inner city is ridiculous. You know, I mean, like, they call off and, you know, they're gone for weeks at a time, right? And then they come back and they take off more time, right? Whether it's PTO or sick time.
They've got good unions.
Right, like, they've got good unions. And I'm not necessarily, this isn't necessarily the teacher's fault, right? At the end of the day, it's what, God damn it, I said it.
The shot of justice will have to come into this.
Right. And did we settle?
We did not settle on this. So if you listen to our last show, okay, finish your point.
But the whole point is, you're right. It's not just money. But money is a major part of it.
It is. Always hear that from, you know,
you hear it from people, but then they don't get into the actual issues of why it's not just money. Right. So if we're going to say it's not just money, then let's talk about why it's not money.
It's true. It's true. Right? But taking the money away has a direct
impact. Right, like taking the money away. Taking the money away, now you have, instead of one teacher for 40, you may have one teacher for 60, right?
Right.
I mean, well, now, like,
one for 40, I mean, I've, having dated a few teachers and having friends who are teachers and family members who are teachers, they will tell you that the proper number is like 20 to 22 to 1 student to teacher. A class size of 20 to 22 is about right. And I'll buy into that just based on my education and I'm guessing, you know, yours as well.
But your education didn't come from Harvard, Jim.
No, it didn't. I didn't go to a private school either.
I did.
That's probably why you could have gotten into Harvard, you son of a bitch. You had connections there. I didn't. I went to a lower middle class public school just outside of Buffalo.
I had connections there?
Did you?
At Harvard?
Did you?
No.
Okay, I don't know.
I was... No.
I mean, that's crazy. You went to school in Massachusetts. There could have been a. And I know that's not the
Harvard. Harvard's from fucking Youngstown, Jim.
I'm aware. So but you went to school in Massachusetts. You went to college in Massachusetts.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying. That you could, your high school had much better chance of having a connection to Harvard than mine.
Fair.
And if it didn't, fine. But you very well could have had an emeritus, whatever. Anyway, why are we going down this road?
Because I'm smarter than you, Jim.
Yes.
Because I could have gotten to Harvard and you didn't.
I didn't. No, I didn't. I couldn't have afforded to go to an Ivy League school if I got in anyway. All right. So.
Sorry.
We've derailed, sorry. And that's on me. That's, all right. So let's take a quick break. Let's talk what we're drinking because we're still drinking the Cleveland Whiskey Cherrywood, which is black cherry. Right. Which is
great. The only reason we're actually still drinking this is just because we're never fucking here.
That's true.
You know, I just, you know, like you're.
Aren't you a bit surprised I didn't bring it with me to Maryland, though?
I'm glad you didn't.
I wouldn't do that, although I thought about it.
I'm glad you didn't because it'd be gone.
yes, it would.
And it doesn't matter. I have a bottle at my house, too. So. We talk about this. We talk about these guys. We talk about this whiskey. It's a great whiskey, and you know, we've already talked about it enough. But absolutely,
I actually want to talk about the beer I'm drinking. I'm drinking Big Ditch Hayburner, which is brewed in Buffalo, New York. I was in town for a family reunion last week, so this is a microbrewery in downtown Buffalo that I've been to. I actually know the owners of, and they make great stuff. It's all over Western New York. I think it's getting a little bit more widespread, but Big Ditch Brewing is good stuff.
Can you talk about the beer that I'm drinking?
You are drinking, you know what? It's not Tyski. It's the other big Polish beer, and I'm drawing a blank on the name. But so I bought beer for my family reunion. This is the Polish side of the family. So I bought a Polish lager, and Steve had to try it. And then claimed if acid was supposed to taste like kielbasa.
It tastes like kielbasa.
It does not taste like kielbasa.
On first sip, it tastes like kielbasa.
You wanted it to taste like kielbasa.
I didn't.
All right.
I wasn't even thinking about it.
Anyway, it's a good beer though, right? Is it a nice light pilsner? I think it should be pretty good.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Happy Dingus Day.
All right, there we go. All right, so we could go on and on about this, but the white victim card is clearly the administration's favorite thing now. The rallies.
It's not just the administration, though. The administration doesn't have to do much to get people to play that card, right?
And the fact that the DOJ is doing their thing, I'm wondering if, so Jeff Sessions was on the ropes for a while. I had him next in our Deadpool.
Listen, I'm telling you.
I don't know if he's going to.
He's not. I put this on our website. I wrote about it. Check it out at whiskeycongress.com. I wrote, an article about Jeff Sessions' safety in his position. I don't think that Jeff Sessions is going anywhere. You're not going to get him to quit. Like, he is in a position where he can put in place his master plan, right? The master plan.
Interesting you use that word, right? That choice of words.
Well,
scary that you.
No, I mean, accurate. That's by design.
Yep.
Because he is from Alabama. And listen, the Deep South, they're still fighting segregation. Right.
Yes.
Or desegregation.
They're still fighting the Civil War.
Right. They're literally still fighting desegregation in parts of Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, places in Virginia. Like, there's still places where, they're pissed about black kids coming to their school, and they're trying to figure out a way to weed them out using coded language and the whole thing. It's on display in the South. And so all of a sudden, Jeff Sessions is now the head dog, the lead attorney of the Department of Justice. So he is going to get justice for the white South. He is going to get it. And he is on a mission. He is not going to let the buffoon in the White House derail him. Right? Like, he's just like, listen, you're going to have to fire me because I have shit that I need to get done. Marijuana, we got to get over this shit, right? Like, his thought process is marijuana needs to be super legal. We need to continue building bills.
It sounded like you said super illegal.
Right. It needs to be like extra illegal.
Yep, yep.
Right? And then we need to, anyone who has it, they need to go to jail, right? And then we need to build more jails. And we need to fill those jails, preferably with people who have melanin, right? The darker, the better. And then, on top of that, this whole stuff with we're going to protect the gays, we're not doing that anymore. Screw it. Fuck it. Have a field day. This whole thing with the drug war, it's on and it is popping. This whole thing with we're just letting anybody into college? Nope. No more. Got to be
people into the country. Got to be educated.
Right.
And here's the
people
funny
coming into the country, only people that we like.
Well, and the funny thing about that is, the people that will actually take Americans' jobs are those people. Now, good, they're doctors, they're whatever, but they're spinning this on a, You know, we need to protect American jobs. Well, if you want American doctors, then that's not the way to do it.
Right.
And again, I'm not.
Well, it's just crazy.
That came out wrong.
Well, no. It is though, like, because, you know, like the people fighting for this immigration reform, right? It's just like, oh, well, you know, they're taking our jobs. Like, first of all, Tom, no, they're not. Like,
right.
Right. If your job can be taken by someone who doesn't speak English
and literally can just pick vegetables for a living.
Like, okay. Like, no, that's not what's happening. But so the thing is, though, like, I mean, the people that they want to let in are the people who not only will take the jobs of, you know, doctors and computer IT people
right.
and all that sort of stuff, but they're also the same people who will take those jobs for a period of time and then go somewhere else, go to another country, go to Europe, go back to the Middle East, start a company that makes a lot of money and somehow, and it even has a bigger global impact
right.
somewhere else, not here. Right, and so it's just
one of the late night show hosts, I think it was Colbert, said it was originally called the Raising American Citizenship is Super Tough Act, but they didn't like the way that worked out.
Racist.
That was well done. We gotta
work on you interjecting jokes.
It was not my joke. It was someone else's joke. That was a pretty good one.
Whether it's yours or someone else's, we gotta work on that.
All right, so.
Because I'm smarter than you, Jim.
Yes, so you've said.
I'm going to get that vein to explode
in
your head.
I consider you a really smart guy. So there's two things. There's the people who say they're smarter than me that aren't. And then there's people that if we went toe-to-toe, it would be an interesting head-to-head. And
it'd be a draw.
I think so.
I would allow it to be a draw.
You're such a prick. All right. So the NAACP came out. And issued a travel ban, or not travel ban, but a travel warning.
Niggas with Attitudes made another album. Oh wait, no.
No, so the foreign country that is so racist that they recommended black people take very seriously if they travel to was not a foreign country. It was Missouri.
Right. So this is interesting to me. I'm not exactly sure. I honestly can't tell you where I come out on this. I'm pretty sure that the NAACP did it, so I don't agree with it.
Well, I don't know, Steve, because you're smarter than me, so I don't know if I can figure this out either.
You probably can't.
Okay.
You probably don't have the capacity to do so. It's fine. It's not your fault. It's genetic, bro.
You're a dick.
I don't know. All right. Honestly, so it's in the news, right? Obviously, conservatives hearing about this are losing their minds. And then, you know, the left is applauding it, like, yeah, social justice.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how I feel about it. Like, you, here's the problem. You know, Missouri, home of St. Louis.
Home of Ferguson.
Home of Ferguson. Home of a lot of issues that, I don't know. This is really tough for me. NAACP comes out and says, hey, if you're black driving through the state of Missouri, be careful because there's a real probability that you're going to get pulled over because you're just because you're black, right? DWB, driving while black. It happens.
Right.
And it happens. I'm saying it with quotes. That's just an acknowledgement that
it's true.
you get pulled over. Like, if you're black driving in anywhere at the wrong point in time, you may get pulled over just because you're black, because there's a chance that you have weed on you, or you look like someone who may have committed a crime. You are in a neighborhood where a lot of crimes are committed, so let's pull you over and see what you're about. Any number of reasons, but because you look the way you look, you're going to get pulled over. It happens. NAACP comes out, makes a big deal about it, to the point where they put out this advisory, a national advisory. Don't drive through Mississippi.
Missouri.
Missouri. You're right. Don't drive through Missouri because there's a probability that you'll get pulled over.
Your slip was probably also good advice, by the way. But
Right. Well, and so...
Is that kind of the point that, okay, I'm fine with doing this thing about Missouri, but how is Missouri different than Kansas, Arkansas, Mississippi, Texas, Oklahoma?
Well, and that's exactly where I'm going. Like, what's the difference between Missouri and Mississippi? Right, what's the difference between Missouri and Louisiana? Right, there's a case pending down there from where a guy drove, like, you know, wanted to, like, and this is, and actually, did you hear it on Dr. Wilma Leon's show? There was a guy who was driving. He was from Mississippi. He actually drove into Louisiana, never made it out of Louisiana. He got pulled over by the police. He hadn't done anything wrong, but they took him into custody, and he ended up dead.
I did not hear this.
Yeah.
I listened to his show last weekend, but I didn't listen to it this weekend.
Yeah, so it wasn't this weekend. Actually, it was a couple weekends ago. But yeah, that's a case that's pending in Louisiana right now. And so I guess my question is, NAACP, where the fuck have you been? Right? Like, this is like driving while black has been a thing for a while, right? And this is the first time that you visited an advisory and you want a pat on the back for it.
And so let me ask this, though. So you're saying, you know, what? And I said, what's the difference between Mississippi, Louisiana, whatever? Could it be that Missouri is kind of like the gateway to where the Midwest gets much whiter? Because in Louisiana, I mean, I'm not saying driving while black doesn't get you pulled over in Louisiana, Mississippi, whatever. But in those states, the percentage of, you know, the population that's black is probably approaching 20%. Whereas,
do you know the numbers?
I don't. Like, I don't.
So that, I mean,
but just Missouri. But Missouri, Kansas, Illinois. Well, Illinois because Chicago is a bad answer. But when you get into rural Missouri,
Missouri is a big state.
And it is rural, a big state.
It's open. I get it. I completely get it. And you can
and
get
outside
that,
of the major cities, there's but nothing but white people.
But what's the difference between that and Georgia? Right? You get outside of Atlanta and some of the places around in Georgia.
Small town Georgia is either small town Georgia is very one thing or another. It's either very white or very black.
Right.
So okay, I'm.
But I mean, okay. But do you think it's a good idea to be driving while black and through some of those very white parts of Georgia?
No.
But you know what I mean. Like so.
I'm just asking the question. I didn't really read the NAACP's rationale for singling out Missouri if they had one. But I'm wondering if that is where.
Well, it was the office in the state of Missouri, right? Like so. It's the
NAACP, okay. Right. So they're acting locally, basically.
Right.
Okay. My fault.
And again, where's this been? This isn't new for the state of Missouri. This isn't. Like, there's nothing new. I mean, like Missouri's had issues with race as far back as this country. You know,
since. Right. Pre-Civil War, yep.
Plessy versus Ferguson.
Well, there's that.
So I just...
Where was Brown versus Board of Education? Was that Kansas?
I believe so.
Okay.
So, you know, I have a hard time falling in line with the NAACP. I don't believe that they're an effective organization. I do believe that they are very reactionary. I believe that the NAACP has failed at its mission over the last 20 plus years. And I believe that the leadership of the NAACP needs to go across the board, almost in every state. There are some signs of, hey, they're doing a decent job. But for the most part, they're the old guard. And there's nothing wrong with that. At the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with that. You need new leadership. Yeah, fuck. you need
new, at the end of the day, you know, yeah, that's what I'm not
at these
about.
At these different... In these different organizations, you need new leadership. You need a different frame of thought, a different thought process to move and advance forward. If you have people who are still clinging to the same things that they were holding on to 10, 15, 20 years ago, then it's no wonder you can't move forward as an organization. If you can't figure out how to navigate in today's society, where is the NAACP on social media? Where are they in, you know, these new and different advertising spaces? Do you know where the NAACP office is in Cleveland?
Not a clue.
Right. And
where is it? I'm sure you do know.
Right. I know where it is. It's on the east side over by the main campus of Cleveland Clinic.
Okay.
And, like between the main campus of Cleveland Clinic and UH University Hospitals. But it's in a very not like you would drive past it and you wouldn't even know what it was. And that's another part of the problem, right? If you're going to be the organization that holds up a group of people and say, listen, we're the NAACP, right? And I actually hate I hate what those letters stand for. So I won't say them. But if that's the organization that you're going to be and your mission is what it is, then you need to be upfront. You need to be where I can. You need to be in a central location where me, as a person that you claim to support and claim to be advancing, I need to be able to get to you easily. I need to know exactly where you're at. I need to know, I need to be able to find you on social media, no problem. Right? I need to be, like, you need to be, you need to have an app. You need to have, like.
Do they not have an app?
I don't know. If they do, why don't I know about it?
Fair enough, yeah.
Right? I mean, and that's the whole point. Like, and it needs to be, you need to be more effective. And so that's my issue with the NAACP. They need to advance themselves, right? I mean, they're talking about the advancement of colored people. I need them to advance themselves as an organization. And, you know, there are people who, they're you got me in, you son of a bitch. Okay.
Did you not want another one of the same?
It's fine. I needed another beer, and Jim got me another okay beer.
This is the Polish beer that I didn't remember the name of.
It's literally the name of this Polish beer that he got me is the okay beer. That tastes like kielbasa.
Tyski is the traditional Polish lager I got. I grabbed that one because it was convenient. Brian, I didn't mean to derail you. You kind of jumped the tracks on your own after I helped.
By the way, Brian, this is for you. You'll process that in a second.
I got it. No, okay. I picked it right away. I'm smart. I'm going to be as smart as you, but I'm pretty smart.
Okay. Well, you're not smart enough to get into Harvard, Jim. But my point is that, one, I'm going to need someone to save me because Jim's probably going to stab me when this is over once I turn the camera off. Yeah. But find us on YouTube and you'll be able to see, did Jim stab Steve? Anyway, my whole point is that the NAACP is not the organization that I need it to be. I need them to be better. I need them to be more proactive. I need them to get out in front of these issues. I can't have, like, right now, they're using, oh, hey, Donald Trump. We don't like Donald Trump. And he's, like, that's low-hanging fruit, right? Like, you need to be an organization that is advanced in your thinking. If you're going to advance colored people's position in
it.
This, I said it because you have to.
I understand.
Right, but if that's what you're going to do, if you're going to advance black people's position in this country, then you need to be advanced enough to do so, right?
Well, maybe advanced enough to get the word colored people out of your title.
Out of your goddamn, yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean,
like, that's my
80-something-year-old racist uncle calls people
colored. The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Yep,
like that's the organization that I need to go. Like, hey, I've got a problem. Can y'all help me? I'm a colored person. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Come on. So anyway, NAACP says it. I punt on it.
And so here's the funny thing: if you listen to our show or listen to our old show, you know, Steve's the organization that Steve kicks the shit out of on a regular basis is the NAACP. I kick the shit out of the NRA because, again, we have reasons for.
Reasons for wanting them to be better.
Yes, and I won't go on an NRA rant at this point, but you know one's coming. Actually, I need to publish what I. Funny thing is, about 5 weeks ago, I did a video rant, and I never even sent it to you to publish. And in it, I said, if I don't do this in time, you don't need to worry because nothing will change. And there's Steve showing off the beer on the video. All right, man.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, move on. Let's move on. And so Colin Kaepernick's back in the news. And Colin Kaepernick's back in the news because he's not been picked up. He's had like one or two tryouts. He tried out in Seattle and Philadelphia. Baltimore.
Well, here's my thing. Let's focus on the Baltimore thing.
All right.
You know, John Harbaugh said...
A city with no racial issues right. ever.
John Harbaugh said they were taking a look at him. They had been on the phone with him. They were... considering signing him. Joe Flacco, their starter, got hurt. Is going to be out for about a month or so. And, you know, Ray Lewis comes out and essentially says that, you know, the Ravens shouldn't sign Colin Kaepernick, right? And he gives a really kind of bullshit, you know, company line sort of explanation as to why the Ravens shouldn't sign Colin Kaepernick. And then the owner of the Ravens, Steve... I want to say Bugatti.
I'm not going to be able to bail you out on this. I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name.
It's not Steve Buscemi.
It's definitely not Steve Buscemi.
Fuck.
It is not Mr. Pink.
Biscotti?
Biscotti, I think is right.
Biscotti.
There we go.
Right?
It's something around there.
Right. Either
it's
way.
Not Buscemi.
I just butchered
Again,
his
it's
name.
It's not Mr. Pink.
Bad job by me. You just got an array of beer over here.
We do.
Anyway.
Also from Big Ditch, by the way.
I got it. I can see it. Anyway, Ravens end up not signing Kaepernick.
Right.
Who they did sign was some kid out of Liberty College, coached by Turner Gill.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Turner Gill's at Liberty now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
That, oh.
He did not have a good stint.
No, that
He didn't have a good stint at Kansas. He had a decent stint, but not a great one. He gets fired, made an ass load of money. So why? Like, he did, like, what I would do, right? Like, it's just like, all right, well, I'm not a good coach.
No, you wouldn't go to Liberty. No, he did not do what you would do. You would not go to a school that gives demerits to kids who wear jeans, which that school did 10 years ago. I don't know if they still do.
I didn't mean Liberty. People went there. I wouldn't go to Liberty, but, I mean, I would take my shot at a big school. If I failed or got fired, then I would move on to a small school.
Move back.
Take my money and run, essentially,
okay,
is what I'm saying.
Fair enough.
No, I would not go to Liberty.
You would not go to Liberty.
But the whole thing is that the Ravens, they signed the quarterback from Liberty, right? Instead of signing Colin Kaepernick. Now, my argument is that, all right, one, that kid's a hell of a lot cheaper. Joe Flacco's going to be back probably in the first couple weeks of the season. So that move,
and historically, he's been very durable. So
right, I get that. Right, I get it. Like, so, and part of the issue with Colin Kaepernick is, as much as you want to make it about race, and as much as you want to make it about his protest, which that's a huge part of it, right? I think that's an absolute huge
part, I would say.
But like, there's still football here, right? And football, there's still strategy, there's still salary caps, there's still analytics, there's still numbers involved in this. Now, Colin Kaepernick's numbers over the last, like, 5 years, if you look at him, there are certain statistics, like, meaningful statistics, where he's ahead of Joe Flacco, right? Like, he's actually, like, his passer rating is better than Joe Flacco's over the course of the last 5 years, right?
It's largely based on, like, two great seasons, right?
It's over the last 5 years.
Okay. I'm not saying that makes it unfair. I'm just saying.
His passer rating is better than Joe Flacco's over the last 5 years. Like, you don't qualify that.
Okay. Well,
right? that's a dick move. You can say.
I'm not trying to be a dick.
But it's common that it happens, but think about it, right? Like, you could sit there and say that. You could say that for a lot of people, right? Well, you know, think about it. Drew Brees had a really great season in 2013, right? So then if you look at his passer rating from 2013, but then you, like, lump it with, you know, like,
2016,
his early...
okay.
Right, like, then it's just, oh, well, it's only based off of 2013. No, over time, like, you have to take the good with the bad, right? You have to take the good with the bad with the good, vice versa. Over the last 5 years, which is an average,
right,
his passer rating is better than Joe Flacco's.
Okay.
Right, they played in the Super Bowl against each other.
That is also true.
Right, I mean, Colin Kaepernick was. Do you remember how close San Francisco was to winning
that fucking ball game? If it wasn't for the power failure, who knows?
Right, that's so bizarre. But my point is, besides that, Colin Kaepernick's numbers, right, the whole thing, and I will own this. Initially, when this began with him not being signed, I talked about, well, it's football. It's based off of merit. He hasn't been great, right, over his career. So that's why people aren't signing him. But then I saw something from Pro Football Weekly, of all places, and I looked at his number, and his numbers actually weren't bad last year. They weren't bad at all. And it wasn't even based off of garbage time, right? Like, he had 11 starts. He threw 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions.
Wow. Okay.
That ratio is great. That's pretty fucking good, right? Like, I mean, and like 16 touchdowns are 16 touchdowns, right? I mean, like, he didn't throw 16 touchdowns in garbage time, right? He only threw 4 interceptions in 11 starts. Jay Cutler is going to throw 4 interceptions by week 3. I'm telling you this right now.
You don't need to convince me of that.
Right? I mean, like, Jay Cutler's going to throw 4 interceptions
by
week 3.
And that's because Jay Cutler just got signed.
He just got signed by Miami. Now, again, people are saying...
Jay Cutler's mobility is roughly equivalent to mine.
he's running around a football field right now.
But he's not smarter than me.
Right. Well, he went to Vanderbilt.
Ooh. Sick burn, bro.
Ooh.
Sick burn, bro. Don't be. I think I kind of like double dick moved you there because I kind of gave you the white guy line to other white guys.
Anyway, so Jay Cutler gets signed by Miami. Right? Jay Cutler was a former quarterback in Chicago. No one. He was a free agent. No one picked him up. He retired, quote unquote, right. And he signed a TV deal with Fox. And then Ryan Tannehill goes down in Miami, gets hurt, blows out his ACL again. By the way, and this is the second time.
I didn't know. I see. You know, I saw he got hurt. I didn't know it was that bad. It's a blown ACL, so he's like out for a long time.
He's out for the season.
What? Oh my God. Didn't know that. I'm sorry. I've been fucking traveling, man. Are you related to him?
Is he your cousin? Jesus Christ. Your level of excitement.
He's in the AFC East. The Bills just jumped up a spot.
All right, listen.
I'm a dick. All right. I didn't know it was your.
Yeah, he's out. He's out for the year.
So, I just feel bad. He's a good ball player.
Who?
Tannehill.
Okay.
He's a good ball player. He's not a superstar, but he's good.
Whatever. I'm neutral on him. We're not gonna go down that road. But
I'm sure people want to hear us talk about Ryan Tannehill.
Jay Cutler, though, the reason why this matters, right, and in relation to Colin Kaepernick, is Jay Cutler played for Adam Gase, who's the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
Right. Adam Gase was the offensive coordinator. Like, Jay Cutler is familiar with his system. He knows him. So that's why they're going to sign him, right? Because that makes football sense. Like, could they sign Colin Kaepernick? They could. But Colin Kaepernick doesn't know Adam Gase's system. And even though we know that Jay Cutler is going to throw 4 interceptions before week 3, we also know that they're not going to have to worry about language or about format. He already knows the system, right? He's like, it's not going to take him long to get up to speed to where the coach feels comfortable with him. That's just a football fact.
And he's had some success in the NFL. I mean,
right. He
went to a championship game at least, if not further.
You know, I was on the Jay Cutler bandwagon up until he retired. I love the guy. He had an arm, like, he had a Dan Marino arm. He actually, Jay Cutler, you made the mobility joke, but Jay Cutler can actually move. He can scramble if he needs to, but there's other issues with Jay Cutler that kind of prevent him from rising to the next level. But at the same time, he's thrown for a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns, a lot of interceptions in the league over time, and he's a better fit for Miami right now. That makes football sense. That's why Colin Kaepernick isn't in Miami, right? Like, they never would have thought about Colin Kaepernick with Jay Cutler being out there. Now, Jay Cutler re-signs with the Bears, right, which never would have happened because they drafted a quarterback, but if Jay Cutler signs with someone else, then maybe, I don't know. I don't know the Miami organization where they were thinking, but maybe that would have been a fit. But the reason why Miami didn't go after Colin Kaepernick instead of Jay Cutler wasn't because they were afraid of Kaepernick's politics. They figured the best thing for them in that situation, and Cutler's on a one-year deal. One-year deal for $10 million because at the end of the day, at the end of the year, you know, Tannehill will be back, and then Kaepernick,
Cutler.
Tannehill will be back. Cutler can go back to retirement.
Yes.
Or Cutler will play, have a phenomenal year, and can go shop his services elsewhere. Either way, there's no controversy, right?
Right.
And so it makes a lot of football sense for Miami. The Ravens, they don't get a pass. Like, that's ridiculous. Why, like, your starting quarterback and Joe Flacco goes down. The guy that you guys won a Super Bowl against, who played you very tight, is available. So he can get you through the first couple of weeks of the season if you need him to. You're in a very competitive division with the Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. You need every win that you can get. You didn't have a great season last year because part of it was because of your backup situation. So for the Ravens to pass on him and for their owner to come out and say, well, we were worried about the backlash and blah, 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 blah.
Did he admit that?
He did. He came out.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, good.
So here's the thing. Listen. Everyone's talking about the backlash, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? It is the NFL. And they all know one thing. What cures all in the NFL?
Money.
And?
Publicity.
What? W's.
Winning. Oh, yeah. So isn't that really the real thing, that Kaepernick is a, like you said, over 5 years, a successful quarterback, but he's not at a Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers top level.
Nobody's at Tom Brady's level.
Oh, Tom Brady, whatever. My point is that he's not so good that NFL owners, NFL teams are willing to deal with the controversy, the hassle, the risk, whatever. They're very risk averse. It's all about the money. if they believed Colin Kaepernick could come in and get them a championship, they would not blink. I mean, Greg Hardy and Ray Rice are perfect examples.
Right.
Greg Hardy is committed a disgusting act. He choked and beat the shit out of his girlfriend, and I have nothing good to say about Greg Hardy, but he was a really good edge rusher. So he got another chance. In fact, yep. I think he got two chances, right? He signed a one-year deal. I think he signed a deal after that.
No.
Was it 1 year?
No. He signed a deal with the Cowboys, and he was suspended for an extended period of time on his return. And then he was just weird. He was creepy. He said stuff about Tom Brady's wife.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
He did some other stuff. Yes. He was yelling at coaches. And now he got busted with cocaine, and now he's out of the league. So yeah, Greg Hardy, all right. he only got one shot. Ray Rice never got another shot.
Why? Because he was broken down at that point.
He was a running back that was approaching 30. People said he was slowing down. And what he did was disgusting. He knocked his wife out.
And we saw it.
We saw it. It was brutal. And I don't have a problem with it. Like, people are like, well, you know, Ray Rice should get another chance. Like, no, he shouldn't. You know what? But if Ray Rice
had Adrian Peterson, Barry Sanders' ability, he would have got another shot. Ray Rice was, at that point, was a dime a dozen,
I don't know. Because at the time, there was so much pressure on the league through women's advocate groups, through progressive left groups. There was so much pressure that you needed 2 years to go over before you could sign him. And then at that point, even if it was Adrian Peterson, do you sign a guy who hasn't been on the field for that amount of time?
He was at his best. He was really good.
But then again, there's other football things into it, right? Because then it's just like, all right, am I going to pay Ray Rice, a guy who's been in the league for so many years? I have to pay him a minimum of, you know, $1.5 million, whatever the league minimum is, or I can go and get some kid from a division, you know, from a small school.
From Marshall.
Right. I can go get a kid from Marshall. I can go get a kid from UMass. I can go get some kid from a school that no one's ever heard of. From Harvard. From what could have been my former, whatever.
Yeah, but it's not. But it's not.
But they can go out and they can get somebody to fill the role, and maybe that person turns into a superstar. Maybe that's a Terrell. Maybe they turn into a Terrell Davis, or maybe they turn into, a Willie Parker. You know, a guy who comes out of nowhere.
North Carolina, I believe.
Out of North Carolina, who barely played. He was only a scout team player,
and then all of a sudden he was a star.
Right, because the Steelers gave him a chance. So why would you pay a guy like Ray Rice all that money? Deal with the controversy, deal with the hassle.
Right,
when you can get a player as effective for cheaper, without baggage.
Without the baggage. So let me make a statement and tell me agree, disagree, or expand. Colin Kaepernick right now is being blackballed because of his political stance, not just because of it, but also because owners don't want to deal with the hassle and the politics. Yeah? No?
Blackball would mean...
That's too strong of a word, maybe.
Because that implies collusion, which is an effort amongst owners to keep him out. Right? Okay. That means they're calling each other and saying, hey, Colin Kaepernick's coming your way. Make sure you don't sign him. That's not happening. I think each owner is taking cues from other owners. Right? I think the guy in Baltimore is looking at Mara from the Giants and saying, they didn't sign him, so we're not going to sign him, right? And if he's saying, like, he's getting mean letters, then I don't want to get mean letters, or maybe they are getting mean letters, like, whatever. And listen, there is an element of people out there who watch the NFL who were so perturbed and pissed off by Colin Kaepernick's act. And by the way, if you remember, he knelt during the National Anthem.
Right,
and that
while saying nothing, by the way.
Right, he knelt. He got down on one knee during the national anthem, and there are a group of people out there that I would say about 25% of the NFL watching population, and actually I know this because there were a number of polls that were taken on it, and they were so upset and pissed off by it, and they got out and they wrote letters and they got on Twitter and they got on social media and they created a movement. And the movement was, fuck that guy. We hate him. He hurt. We're against him.
I went to college with a guy who I'm friends with on Facebook who said...
Where'd you go to college again?
West Virginia University.
So not
Harvard. Harvard. Thank you. That's all. He wrote, well, I can't start watching the NFL again until Colin Pumpernickel is gone. I'm like, you know...
What does that even mean? He's not with the team. Like,
this was last year.
Okay,
all right. But he was like, he was so bent out of shape about Colin Pumpernickel. I was like, look, if that makes you feel better, fine. But grow the fuck up. And, all right, breaking everything down, Colin Kaepernick's protest was the kind of protest that should be embraced and encouraged. It's shown the light on the issue he wanted to protest. It influenced no one adversely in terms of their day-to-day lives. No one got hurt. They weren't screaming in the streets. And we've talked in the past about effective protests. When you take to the streets and block traffic and do this shit, you end up annoying people more than... He brought attention to something without hurting anyone. And what never gets said is the issue that he tried to bring attention to a real one? And if you say no, you're delusional, period.
Right.
If you don't believe... Look,
well,
so
if people, but,
let me keep rolling, please.
Roll on, Dad.
Let me roll. Because people say, well, the number of black people murdered by police is very small. Yeah, you're right. It is very small. I mean, if you look at the total number versus the population, it's tiny. But it did bring into effect... I couldn't help but see that. It did bring into focus the reality that policing and the rules in society are not the same for black people and white people or economically different people.
And let me say one thing, and I've said this multiple times. Why are we so comfortable with the number of people killed by police, no matter the race? Right. I don't care if you look at, well, you know, the police kill more white people than black people. Fine. You're right. Why are you cool with that? Why are you cool with the number?
We're talking about unarmed, unacceptable killings. If someone's shooting at a cop, shoot back.
Right.
No one's arguing that.
Right. Like, but let's take away people who should be shot by police. Right. And let's talk about unarmed citizens. Right. An unarmed citizen who is literally, while crazy or stupid or on meth or whatever, that gets killed by a police officer. Whenever you have a citizen that's being murdered by a state official, and that's what
a government official,
right? A government official, which is what a police officer is, you should be concerned about that. Why do we make fun of Vladimir Putin? Because he's a thug.
Because he murders people.
He murders people who don't agree with him. And so we shouldn't, as a society, be comfortable with our government, the police, we shouldn't be comfortable with police killing citizens. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, this is me making fun of people.
Okay,
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count. You got a challenge flag thrown on the field. Steve's use of the term at the end of the day has been ruled.
But didn't you hear my voice?
It's ruled. It was inbounds. They're calling it a catch.
Not a good catch. I want a call from New York. Anyway,
I was actually saying it was okay.
But the whole point being that, listen, we shouldn't be as comfortable as we are with the number of people that are killed by police. That's questionable, right? We shouldn't be comfortable with that. Like, we should what's unquestionable, if you have a gun, I'm a cop, you shoot at me, I shoot you, you can't question that.
Right.
Right? There's no question there. But if I'm sitting in, if I'm standing in the middle of the street and I don't have a gun and I'm walking backwards or I'm walking away from you and you kill me, I have questions.
Or I'm an Australian woman in a bathrobe.
Right. Like, if I'm some woman who's listening to two people bang and I call the police and then you hear someone fart and you blow her head off, well, that makes you an asshole. And by the way, that's a crime.
That's a crime, yeah.
Right? Like, but we're just like, well, at the end of the day, it's collateral damage. Right, we shouldn't be okay with collateral damage from our, you know, from government agents, from police, from state officials. That's the part that pisses me off.
If you give people, meaning the police, the power and authority to use their judgment to take away freedom.
We should hold them at a higher standard.
Yes.
And so Colin Kaepernick. Now
when I said that last time, Mike would call me Peter Parker, but
Colin Kaepernick called attention to that.
Yes.
And you can talk,
you don't know if that's real, then where the fuck you at?
Keep listening. Keep listening and go back and listen to our past shows. But here's the thing. People will say, well, it's not just that. It's, did you see the socks that he wore? He wore a shirt that had Fidel Castro on it. He didn't vote. Does that change his protest?
It's a distraction from a reality that people don't like talking about, right?
That's exactly it. Right, it's a diversion, a pivot, a distraction, whatever you want to call it.
It makes you feel better.
I don't have an argument against that, so I'm going to bring up something else that I don't like. Right, I'm just going to throw shit at you that I don't like, and then eventually you'll see it my way or not, but I'll be able to walk away and say I'm right and you're wrong.
It's when I mock Trump for the pussy grab comment. They say, "What about Bill Clinton?" Okay,
what does that have to
do with that? It's a deflection. It's a distraction. It's a flawed argument, and yet our society
has become... False narrative.
Exactly.
It's a completely false narrative. Anyway.
All right. We're over an hour, and something...
Well, we're over an hour, so we're gonna finish with these last two items that are pretty nonsensical, but please listen. Please stay on board, because they're very serious. Jim, they're very serious.
You make fun of my segues, and that was what you give me back. Okay. Usain Bolt retired from sprinting.
Your segues are terrible. Fucking fun.
We could argue that. Well, you could have gotten at Harvard. I couldn't, so what do you expect from me? But
look at you. Look at you not sucking.
So Usain Bolt retired from competitive sprinting, and he finished third in his race, and the two Americans that beat him turned and bowed to him, and that was the right thing to do. Usain Bolt was a freak of fucking... Is a freak of nature.
Stop.
Freak of and nature.
Unbelievable. Just so we're clear, you do realize he could have run that. He could have won that race, right?
I mean, he probably got a bad start. I didn't see it.
First of all, Usain Bolt always gets a bad start. All right? Let me just explain to you. Do you remember that during the Olympics?
No, Usain Bolt always has a bad finish because he's already blown the field away.
Do you remember the race from this past Olympics where... He won and turned and smiled and looked at the camera. If you go back to that race, he got an awful start, right? I'm a track guy. I ran that race, the 100, right? At that level, no. But I ran it at some pretty high levels for people who don't make it to the Olympics, okay? And the start for a guy like me is everything, right? Because I'm an explosive guy, right? I'm an explosive guy for only so long. Right, like I'm only going to give you 100 meters, 200 meters. So for me, every part of that race is don't even go there.
I will be running a 400, 800.
I will beat you in a race.
Anywhere. No doubt.
Now, don't start with me. Well,
fucking A, dude. I was in our primes. It wouldn't have been particularly close. Although I was pretty fast as a young guy.
You weren't fast enough.
I was a 4.6 guy in my prime, but my prime is so far behind.
The whole point is, Usain Bolt always gets bad starts, right? And his best races, where he's ran subhuman times, right? Times that are so fast that you question if a human can actually run them, his starts aren't good. Part of that is because he's so tall.
Yeah.
But the other
reason, he's an odd sprinter.
But the other part of it is because he's so tall, his stride is so long, and he's able to repeat that stride
fucking powerful.
very quickly, and that's how he's able to get those crazy times. I will tell you, I watched that race multiple times. He could have won it. He chose not to.
Okay.
He chose not to. I don't know why. Maybe he was just burnt out. Maybe he didn't train for it. Maybe he didn't give a fuck. Maybe he wanted to give the American guys...
Maybe he had nothing left to prove.
Right. And the two guys that came ahead of... Well, one, you're right. He had nothing left to prove on the track. Not in that race. Nothing.
In any race, but he had nothing in history.
Right. Like, I mean, he had nothing left to prove... And the two guys that beat him, that was everything for those two sprinters, right?
Right.
Those guys had battled through a lot of stuff. They had battled through injury, doping, allegations, and everything else. And for them to be able to, on a big stage, to beat Usain Bolt was a huge thing. And I think he knew that.
And maybe for him, it was the way to step down. Maybe right, it's like, I don't want to be...
Right, like, hey, I'm retiring.
Why are you quitting when you did this? Maybe right. That's part of it.
And I think for him, you know what? Let me not finish first, and then I don't have to deal with the why now. You know, like, the last time we saw him, he blew everybody away. And now all of a sudden, oh, look, I came in third. Oh, my God, I'm so slow. See you later.
But let me frame a few things. One, track and field is no longer a prestigious event in America.
Which I don't know why. But,
you dial it back to Jesse Owens and even fast forward to Carl Lewis. It was a bigger deal. I mean, if you look back at Jesse Owens' days.
Well, you don't have to even go that far back. Think about when...
Carl Lewis was my one, and then
that's even too far back. Even I mean, we just had
Michael Johnson.
You had Michael Johnson, and then after Michael Johnson,
once every 4 years thing typically, right? It's Olympics, and then it goes quiet. In parts of the world, it is a
bigger spectacle,
and it's an awesome event in terms of the fact that it's not combat, it's not team, it's just like. Who can do this thing better than anyone else? And in the case of like sprinting, you're dealing with people who are just crazy good at what they're doing. I mean,
between genetics and the practice and training and nutrition, it's unbelievable.
But just to, the best sprinters in the world are competing at a level where tenths of a second determine. Right. Significant distances.
A blink of an eye, right, matters so much in their sport.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's.
And Usain Bolt separated himself from the pack in when everyone is so damn good and so fast. And he would literally, like, win by 3 or 4 meters in 100 meters, which is amazing when you see it, and be looking over his shoulder as he crossed the finish line. You'd be like,
Giving you the Texas Tech double guns, like, woo, look what I did.
He was so amazing.
For me, it was, as a guy who ran track and who can directly relate to what is happening in front of my eyes, watching Usain Bolt was... It bewildered me. I'm watching a guy who technically his starts were so bad that I know, like, I can hear my coach screaming at him at his starts, right? And just like I can hear Coach Stroya just screaming at him, get your butt down, get flat, get low. He's not doing any of that. But then I watch him just blow by everyone because his stride,
looking over his shoulder,
right? And then finish
with terrible form,
like just wait. Well, his running form. Wasn't terrible. It wasn't great.
I'm talking about looking over
right,
shoulder.
Yeah. Well,
like,
yes. Right. Right. Like, giving the middle finger with your arms spread. That's not good
form.
That's
what I'm saying.
But it was phenomenal to watch. It was fun to watch. I enjoyed it. Like watching someone just be that good is fun. Like here's the deal. I talk a lot about how I hate Tom Brady because he has a life that is ridiculous and just isn't fair.
I hate Tom Brady too. I'll go with that.
Right. I mean, it's just like he's married to Gisele Bündchen and he's got a baby by Bridget Moynihan and he is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's also probably going to go down as the greatest quarterback of all time. He lives this amazing life and it's just like, fuck you, Tom Brady. But then at the same time, as much as I hate him, right, as much as I can't fucking stand him and would have to resist the urge to kick him in the nuts if I ever saw him, watching that dude come back down
28-3
or whatever it was and win the Super Bowl. I actually called it. I was like, it's going to happen. And it happened. Right. As much as it disgusted me, it's amazing to watch
greatness.
One of the greats
greatness, yes.
do what they do. It's amazing to watch Usain Bolt come out of the blocks horribly and just
blow past the greatest in the world.
Walk down people. These are the best people in the world.
People spent 4 years training to do 100 meters in a straight line.
Right. Now, here's the thing. He trains very hard.
Oh, yeah. We're not very, very hard.
No. And I just want, like, it's not like he just rolls out of bed and does this. He puts a lot into it. But it's still amazing to watch. And the fact that we won't get to watch it anymore. That's disappointing. And hopefully there's somebody that comes along to replace him. And hopefully the sport picks up.
I'm sure it will. But we need to recognize, we always talk about greatest of all time type stuff. Usain Bolt as a sprinter is the greatest of all time. Period.
Right, and you're right. Like you started it, but we as a society, and even you and I, have to begin to recognize when you're experiencing, when you're watching greatness at the level that we see of a Usain Bolt, of a Tom Brady, of a LeBron James. Don't get so caught up in the debate, right? Like, we all get caught up in the at some point in time, you just have to sit back and say, damn, he or she is real good, you know?
And I'm he or she something is special.
Just unbelievable. They are the gold standard. They belong up in the rafters with the greats of everything, right? Like, we have to appreciate that. That's the beauty of sports, right? Like, Colin Kaepernick and all that other shit. Like, that aside, the beauty of sports, the reason why we watch it is because it's different than all that. We get an opportunity to see these people who no one else can do that.
At a next level, right?
Right. Like, no one else can do it. And so, appreciate it. It's okay. It's fine. Right? Don't worry about the money. Who gives a fuck about the money? Right? There's plenty of people who get paid a lot of money to do shit that you get paid more than they should. It's okay. Right? Like, you're mad because it's not you, but at the end of the day, no one's going to pay you to be mad, so shut the fuck up. Right? Yeah. Just enjoy it. It's allowed. It's okay.
One of the best Sports Center commercials ever was the one with Usain Bolt. When he, it's two guys from ESPN. It was, I forget, it was maybe Kenny Mayne was one. I forget who the other one was.
Carl Ravitch, I think.
Was it Carl Ravitch? Yeah. And then Usain Bolt shows up. And he clocks in, and like 10 seconds later, he clocks out.
Right.
And they're like, I'd love to have his hours.
It's
right?
Fun.
Joke
right.
No, it's exactly great, what you just talked
but
about.
But it's just great. Like, just embrace the shit, man. Like, you know what I mean? And we just, like, I mean, he retired. We're not going to get to see him race again. Like, I mean, fortunately, we have YouTube. Fortunately, we can, you know, in this digital age, we can go back and we can watch it. But, you know, hopefully someone comes along and makes us kind of forget about Usain Bolt. Hopefully.
Right? And if not, I don't know. You know what, though, Steve? I think 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you and I are going to talk about how we saw Usain Bolt looking over his shoulder 5 meters ahead of the crowd. And kids will look at us and go, come on. And we're like, sorry.
Seen it.
Saw it. You missed it, kid. We watched.
Same thing with Michael Phelps. You know, like Michael Phelps, right?
Don't say Ryan Lochte. Oh.
No.
Thank you. Thank you.
The worst bro of all the bros.
The worst bro of the bros.
Ryan Lochte.
I want to change gears because you brought Game of Thrones to my attention, and we do need to wrap this up. First of all, that show has been on.
It's like all of a sudden they're just like, hey, maybe instead of stretching everything out over the course of ten seasons, why don't we just try to get all of it in, you know, 2 seasons? So it's amazing. But there was a hack, Jim. HBO got hacked, and there was an unaired episode of Game of Thrones. I don't know where it fits. I don't know if it's in this season. I don't know if it's like from a previous season. But all I know, everyone who's watched it has said it's amazing, and it has more shit in it than, like, the first 3 episodes of Game of Thrones to this point has had in it combined. So my question to you is, do you and I go find the unaired episode of Game of Thrones and watch it?
I can't.
And talk about it.
I can't.
What?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't know.
I know. No. Do we go find it?
If it's available, we have to.
Do we have to? But isn't that impure of us?
It is, but
we still have to find it.
Like CNN, we must get there first.
All right.
Right?
Well, we're definitely not going to be first.
Or 58th.
Ish.
We're 58th.
Ish.
We're
Have you ever watched Ballers, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, I'm loving it.
Ballers is great.
That gives me thoughts and plans and ideas.
That scares me a lot.
Should.
Oh, so, by the way, I put on our Twitter account that Spencer Strassmore is Jason Taylor. You see me put that out there?
Yeah, what? So what was
that
about?
Because they're the same guy.
They're not.
They're defensive ends. They're athletic, bald, good-looking black guys who are... Now, Jason Taylor's a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. As a Bills fan, I understand how he got
Taylor
there.
Jason Taylor also was never broke.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we don't know that. Or do we?
I mean,
I'm just saying that they kind of look a little bit alike, you know.
He's not a financial guy. He's a vegan. He went to Akron.
He went to Akron. That's true. Where did Spencer Strassmore go?
Miami.
The U? Okay. Yeah. The whole
where he went actual, in real life.
Where Dwayne Johnson like, went.
So yes. where the Rock went in real life? Like right, where he went right, to Miami? Right.
I just
And
just,
you
just,
didn't go just, to Harvard? Like that
I
whole thing?
No. In fact, I was on the same football field as the Rock in 1993, I believe.
In what capacity, Joe?
I was a varsity athlete, Steve.
Doing what?
I was a varsity athlete. I was a varsity
what was your uniform?
I was a cheerleader, fuck you. And yes, I was. It's a weird story how I became a collegiate cheerleader. If you want to talk about that, you know what? Tweet at us, email us. We are Jim at Whiskey Congress or Steve at Whiskey Congress.
Nobody wants to know why you were a cheerleader.
If you do, you can find us. We are whiskeycongress.com. We are on all the social medias, all the social media outlets. Let's wrap this up. This is going to go south in a hurry.
Absolutely. By the way, whiskeycongress.com, that's where we kind of put into written form what we talk about on this show. So, you know, check it out. You can leave comments. You can leave comments on our Facebook page. You can leave, obviously, you can tweet at us.
Email us.
Email us. You can find us on Instagram. Instagram is mostly pictures of whiskey and food because that's kind of
what we do. Those are awesome things.
But please, you know, check us out on any of those platforms. You can find us on YouTube, clips of the show, previews of what we're going to talk about during the week,
random video clips, interviews,
right. Jim's rants on random shit, maybe even some of my workout videos. Yeah, for the ladies. Anyway,
you know what? I'm going to let that.
You should let it slide.
Yeah, I will.
And that's what the ladies should do is let it slide.
Stop.
All right.
Stop. All right. Thank you very much. We're out, folks.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much. We're out of here.